Just read a couple of those verses again, back from verse 8. The words from verse 8 and the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's just bow together for prayer as we come to the preaching of God's word. And I trust if you are a believer this morning that you will bow with me in prayer and ask that God would bless your own heart and bless those around you and bless the lost, and that as God's word would go forth, and that it would go forth speedily into the soul of each and every one here and encourage and strengthen us in our walks with the Lord. Father, we do thank you and praise you for the fact that we are here in the house of God on the day of the Lord. And we pray, Father God, that you would help us to give thee all the honor and all the praise and everything that is said and everything that is done, that you might be magnified, the name of God might be uplifted high, that everything would be said and done for thy glory and thy glory alone. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us, each and every one, for our sins and for our failures, for our faults, and all of our shortcomings. Even as we come to consider this fourth commandment, Lord, we are all filled with failures in regards to it. Help us to search out our own hearts. Help us to learn from thy word. Help us to, as it were, apply this commandment even to this thy very day today, that our lives might be changed, that our hearts might be touched, and that everything that we would do would be done for thy glory and for thy glory alone. Lord, bless us now and be with us as we would consider the things of God this morning. Amen. Amen. This morning, as it's obvious, I want to deal with the Sabbath day with you. I want you to consider this, the fourth commandment. The fact that God has written down in the moral law, one of the Ten Commandments that we are to follow, that we are to obey, that we must keep the Sabbath day, that we must keep the Lord's day. As we consider this day, it is a day that is under attack throughout society. Everywhere you go in this world, basically, especially in the Western world, you'll find that this day is a day that is under attack from those around us and from those even within us. We can quote Matthew Henry in regards to this saying. He says that the streams of religion run deep or shallow according as the banks of the Sabbath are kept up or neglected. And surely as we follow that illustration or that picture, we can say that the world is eroding the banks of the Sabbath day away. Week by week, it seems, there are different attacks being laid out against this day, whether it be from the shop down the street or from the government that is over us, or whether it be from believers within our ranks. The Sabbath day is being attacked, and we must guard it. Whenever we think about our own lives, even as believers, for those of us that call ourselves Christians here this morning, we must ask ourselves the question, yes, we would protest perhaps, and yes, we would be annoyed and frustrated when we see this day being attacked by the world, but do we ever consider how we hold this day? Do we ever consider how we, as it were, live up to the standards of God's word? Do we question our own walks? Do we consider our own stands as we would consider this the Lord's day? I often come across this. I don't work on a Monday anymore, but on a Monday morning, perhaps going into school, going into the workplace, you've come across people telling you about their weekend. They're gloating in their sin. They're rejoicing in their weekend of debauchery and sinfulness and doing anything but that which God has commanded them. Then the question comes to you, believer, well, what did you get up to this weekend, Aaron? What did you get up to on Sunday and Saturday night? You know, the embarrassment often comes across our faces. We're not really sure what to say when those questions come. Young believers, especially in the place of school and maybe in university and things like that, there is an embarrassment that comes across us, and it's not right. It's not right to be embarrassed about rejoicing in the Lord on His day. You know, as that question comes into your mind, you know what the answer should be, because you knew the day before, you knew the blessings of God. You rejoice in the psalms of praise. You rejoice in the hymns that were sung. You rejoice in the Word of God that was taught and read. Yet there's that hesitation to rejoice on the Monday. In front of your friends, in front of your family, in front of the lost, in front of your work colleagues and your schoolmates? There's that fear that comes upon us. That concern as to what they might think if we say, well, I had a great weekend, actually. I was in the house of God rejoicing in the fact that we're here to remember the Lord on His day. How often the words, not much, nothing exciting, I didn't really get up to too much this weekend, come out of our mouths when that question is asked, rather than pointing to the fact that we were rejoicing in the Lord, the fact that the joy of the Lord came down upon us. Now, I don't want to simply leave you upon a negative note. The point I want to get to before we even consider various aspects of this, the Lord's Day, I want you to begin searching your heart. We don't have very much time here this morning, and I want you to be concerned with your own walk with God, not with the walk of those behind you, not with the walk of those unbelievers in the workplace that you've been trying to get out to the house of God, but they've given their excuses, not with your Christian friends and family that do not hold the Sabbath day as you hold it. I don't want you to be concerned with them. Yes, there's a time and place for that. But believer, you must consider your own walk with God here this morning. You must consider how it is you treat the Sabbath day, and ultimately how you treat the Lord on His day. As we consider the Sabbath day, and rather the keeping of it, I have one statement that I want you to go home with. And it is this, that you must, it's a very simple statement, there's nothing special or unique about it, but it is this, you must keep the Sabbath day. You must keep the Sabbath day. I don't care what your background is, I don't care whether you call yourself a Christian or not, I don't care if you're a Free Presbyterian, a Baptist, a Roman Catholic, whatever the case might be, God's command to you this morning is that you must keep the Sabbath day. You must honor Him in this day. You must rejoice in the fact that He has given us this day to remember Him. The keeping of the Sabbath day is something that the Pharisees questioned the Lord about time and time again in the New Testament. They considered what the Lord was doing was a breaking of the Sabbath day, and they came to Him and said, "You do not keep it." That word keep simply has the idea of guarding, protecting it. And really what I want to emphasize and promote to you as believers this morning, and as the lost, even if you're not saved, I want to promote the keeping of the Lord's day. I want to promote the protecting of it. I want you to be gatekeepers of the Sabbath. In the book of Nehemiah, there is the building up of the walls there, the building up of the city. And we find that as the Sabbath is being desecrated, as the ones would come in with their commerce, Nehemiah commands the men to stand at the gate and to keep the city, to guard the city. There was nothing wrong with commerce in that day, but they were bringing the commerce in on the Sabbath day, that holy day. And Nehemiah saw that it was taking away from the Sabbath, saw that it was in disobedience to the Sabbath day. Some translators have actually translated that word as gatekeepers. Friend, are you a gatekeeper of this day? Do you protect it Monday to Saturday? Do you guard it with your life? Do you guard it moment by moment? Did you guard it this morning? Will you guard it, or do you have plans to guard it this afternoon? Or you turn and desecrate the Sabbath day, like so many do on this day, week by week, this world over. We must keep the Lord's day. And in keeping the Lord's day, I have a couple of points that I want to just leave with you, because we might not have the time to get through most of them. The first thing that I want you to notice is that we must keep the Lord's day by remembering it. By remembering it. Secondly, we must keep the Lord's day by resting on it. And also, we must keep the Lord's day by revering it, or by reverencing it. And we'll hopefully be able to have the time to go through these three points. But the main point that I want to leave with you is that we must keep the Lord's day by remembering it. Do you remember the Lord's day every day? This is something I was going to mention at the end of the point, but really it is something that's missed as we think about the Sabbath day. That verse 8 of our text, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It doesn't just say, remember it on the Sabbath day. It doesn't just say, forget about the Sabbath day week by week until you come to the Lord's day and you wake up in the morning and then remember that it is the Lord's day. We are commanded to remember the Lord's day, generally speaking. Each moment of our lives is to be, as it were, brought about remembering this day. Every day of our lives. As you think about what you'll be doing tomorrow and on Tuesday and on Wednesday, we ought to learn to look back to what God has taught us on the Lord's Day and to rejoice in the time that we had rest with Him. The rest that we had enjoyed on the Sabbath day should be something we should remember. But as we go through the week to Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we should look forward to the Lord's Day. We should rejoice in the fact that it is coming up, that we can, as it were, take a step back from our labors, whether they be good or bad. We can take a step back from them, and we can rejoice and rest in the Sabbath of the Lord. But there's a few things I want you to note in remembering why it is that we have to remember the Lord's Day. Yes, we ought to remember it day by day, but there's various aspects that we have to learn as believers for remembering it. Whenever we think about the Sabbath day, throughout time in general, we have been commanded to remember the Lord's Day because of the creation. Because of the creation. You see, God set this in motion from the very beginning of time. This was not something that the believers and the New Testament church and the Old Testament believers were just kind of landed with whenever the moral law came along. No, we're told to remember it. It is something that was there in place already. It's not something that was just sort of set upon them and that it was a new commandment. This was something that was put in place from the very creation of this world. God Himself rested. God Himself took Himself aside from work and from creation to have a Sabbath, to have a day of rest. You know, as we consider that, we can remember the fact that we are to follow His example, that as God rested on the Sabbath day, that He was being an example to His creation, that there was to be a time of resting, a time of taking ourselves away from the workplace, away from those things that are good, away from those activities that God has ordained and the duties that we are required to keep. He's laid this example for us. But above and beyond that, we can see something, in my mind anyway, I believe as we look at this and we see the creation account, that on the seventh day, the Lord, as it were, stepped back from creation. He allowed the creation to lift up praise unto Him on that day. He stepped back from that which was good and that which was holy, that which was righteous, and He, as it were, allowed that creation to exalt His name and to rejoice in His work, to rejoice in what He had accomplished, to rejoice in what He had finished. And as we think about the Sabbath day, we can consider the fact that the Trinity was there, that God, as it were, in His triune person, that thrice holy God, on that first holy day, communed with Himself, rejoiced in the work that He had created, rejoiced in what He had accomplished. Surely we can see something of the Lord there. He doesn't come back and rest as Islam would come and teach, and as they would ridicule our scriptures and resting on the Sabbath day. They'll say, well, is your God one that was tired after all His labors? No, that's not the case. The Lord took a step back, allowed creation to rejoice in all that He had done, and to commune with Himself. And He rejoiced in the work of His own hands. He rejoiced in what He had accomplished. As we consider what God had finished on that day in the creation, and as we remember back to that, the institution of it, I guess, at the very beginning of this time, we must be humbled at that fact. Humbled at the fact that God created us, mere creatures, but gave us a day. A day to remember Him, a day to rejoice in Him, a day to glory in what God has accomplished, the very fact that He has created us, the very fact that He brought us into existence. We can notice, secondly, in regards to this remembering of the Lord's Day, that we ought to remember it because of the commandment. This is a bit obvious, but it has to be highlighted for us. God has given us this commandment in the moral law, that we have to set aside one day in seven, a seventh of our week. It's not an awful lot, friend. Yet how often we begrudge it. As children, we lamented the fact that the Sabbath day was coming, perhaps. And that should not be the case. For the believer, as we come up to the Sabbath day, it should be a day of full enjoyment, a day of blessing, a day of rejoicing in what God has done. A pastor by the name of Kevin DeYoung has said, "Sabbath, the Sabbath day is not meant as a day of gloom, but as a day of gladness." It's not a day of gloom, friend. So we come to meet in the house of God here this morning and this evening, as we wake up on the Sabbath day, as we open up God's Word, it should be a day filled with rejoicing. Not just simply because it is a duty, not just simply because it is God's command to us, but because of the Christ of the Sabbath. That's the third thing we can look at in regards to this remembering of the day. We ought to remember it because of creation. We ought to remember it because simply God has given it to us there in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day, it is a command. But friend, as we consider the main aspect of the Sabbath day, note the change of name. It's the Lord's day. It's not our day. It's not just simply a day that we have a day of rest, but it is His day. We must ask ourselves, why is it called His day? Why do we remember the Lord's day? It is because of what Christ has accomplished. Yes, creation is important. Yes, the command is important. And they are vital to our remembering the Sabbath day. But the crux of the message is that we remember it because of what Christ has accomplished. We remember the Sabbath day because of the fact that Christ rose from the dead on this day. That He was victorious over the grave on the Sabbath day, the first day of the week. That He was victorious over sin, victorious over Satan. And He had the victory. You know, this is something that we can see actually prophesied in the Old Testament. This is the reason we sang the Psalm 118. And our brother Timothy mentioned the verse that I want to highlight to you in his prayer. In Psalm 118, if you turn there with me, into God's Word, and to the verse 22, Psalm 118, we sang from verse 20, but it's really verse 22 and 24 that we want to look at, just to show you what we're dealing with and why this is a day that we ought to rejoice in. God's Word tells us there, and it's one of the most most quoted verses of the chapter, and perhaps of the Psalms, even in the New Testament. It says there in the verse 22, "The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." This is speaking about what Christ has accomplished. Christ is the cornerstone. He has risen from the dead. He is at the right hand of the Father in the glories of heaven. And it goes on and says in verse 24, right after highlighting the cornerstone, right after highlighting the work of Christ, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, there's other verses we could go to to highlight this. One, for example, is found in Hebrews chapter 4 in the verse 9. It says, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." Again, speaking about the work of Christ. There is a day of rest still for us. The psalmist is speaking of the finished work of Christ, and that day that He rose from the dead is to be a day of rejoicing. It has been set aside for that purpose and for His glory. Whenever we consider the work of Christ, surely we cannot, as it were, contemplate just simply dragging ourselves out to the house of God, dragging ourselves to lift up praise to Him in the home, dragging, as it were, our hearts to rejoice in what He has done. Surely that is not the case for the believer. Surely we lift up our hearts and pray. Surely we run to the house of God and we rejoice in what He has done. Surely there must be and there should be praise and there should be rejoicing. But how often is it not the case with you and with me that we forget to remember the Sabbath day for what it is? We forget to humble ourselves in His presence. We forget our duty. But friend, how often it is that we forget our Christ on this His day. And we do not honor Him. He who was, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do we despise Him? Do we desecrate His day? The one that has settled and sealed our salvation by His glorious resurrection. We're here to remember the fact that He rose from the dead. Has that thought even crossed your mind this morning? Or have you just come out to the house of God going through the mere motions, ticking a box, here because you know God has commanded you to be here? Yes. There's more to it, friend. There's more to it, child of God. And for the unbeliever here this morning, I want to highlight to you the fact that God has given you this day to consider the fact that Christ was sent for you. You know, one of the things that is terrible about the fact that society has desecrated the Sabbath day is the fact that believers no longer have time. No longer have time to consider, it seems. No longer have time to take that day in seven and just to contemplate their souls. To contemplate why it is the believer goes to church. Why it is there is meant to be a day set aside. They no longer have the time to consider the things of God. And on the judgment day, one man has, I can't remember whether I read this or whether it was a sermon I had listened to, but he highlighted the fact that on the judgment day, God will not allow you to say, well, I didn't have the time for you. God set a day in seven for you, unbeliever, to contemplate His things, to consider His work, to consider what He has finished for you. You cannot cry out on the judgment day that, you know, I was just so busy in the things of this world, because He gave you a day aside from the world. Have you ever considered the Sabbath day? Have you ever remembered it as His day? Friend, have you ever rested on the Lord's day? Our second point. Have you ever actually properly rested? Taking your mind aside from the things of the world, from the recreations that are right, perhaps, and are, there's nothing wrong with them, but you allow them to, as it were, cloud your mind. C.H. Spurgeon said, "The bow cannot always be bent without fear of breaking. Repose is as needful to the mind as sleep to the body. Rest time is not wasted time. It is economy to gather fresh strength. It is wisdom to take occasional furlough. In the long run, we shall see more done by sometimes doing less." God has given us this day for this reason. You know, we spend the week, or at least we should spend the week, working, doing that which is right, doing that which is lawful, fulfilling our duties, fulfilling our tasks, with the mindset, again, just to mention that, with a mindset of remembering the Lord's day. The fact that we have a day of rest at the end. You know, I want to emphasize one thing in the title of this second point here as well, just before we move any further. It is resting on the Lord's day. You know, when I was actually putting this together, I had in my head, should it be grammatically resting in the Lord's day? What is the right way to word it? And as I'm not good at the English and all that carry on anyway, but when I looked at it a bit further, it actually is important and vital to read it that way. We rest on the Lord's day, not just simply in it. If you rest in the Lord's day, you just rest for an hour on the Sunday morning in the house of God. Resting on the Lord's day, grammatically, from what I have been told and read, has the idea of the whole day. Every moment of the day, friend. You are to rest on the Sabbath day, not simply in one mere little segment of it. And go home and do whatever you like and whatever you please and say, well, I've clicked the box, I've done whatever I needed to do, I've achieved my task, I have rested for a moment, I've rested for a time. No, you must rest in the entirety of this day. Do you rest in every moment of the Sabbath? Is your conversation filled with things of the world, things that are perhaps legitimate in and of themselves, but things that are not legitimate on the Sabbath day? I'm not going to go through a whole legalistic list with you here this morning, but the reality is that if we ask ourselves the questions about the things that we do on the Sabbath day, week by week, things that we don't even really consider or even think about at times, if we were to question those things, so much of it would be cast out. So much of it should be thrown out the window. So much of it should be left on the Saturday, left for the Monday, forgotten about on the Sabbath. Yet our concerns, our contemplations, our ideas, our minds are filled and fixed upon things that God wants us to forget about for the time being, that we might rejoice in Him. It's not without purpose that we rest on the Sabbath day. It is to be resting in Him. Andrew, in his testimony, pointed us to the words of Titus chapter 3 and the verse 5. We're not resting in our own works, and this again is pointed to. Yes, we have that physical aspect where God wants us to rest from our labors and rest from our toils from the week that has gone into eternity and to forget about the things that are coming in the week that lies ahead. But there's more to it, friend. And again, sinner, I want you to hear this part, because the rest of the Sabbath is not just simply that you can turn away your back upon the things of the world, but it is that you can turn your mind to the things of God and rest in the work of Christ. Is that not what Andrew was speaking about in his testimony? No longer are we resting and relying upon our own works and upon our own labors, but we're relying upon His mercy. Relying upon what Christ has accomplished upon the cross. Yes, in the creation we remember the fact that His work was finished. The creation work had been accomplished and it was all very good. But as believers we come to the Sabbath day and we rejoice in the fact that what He has accomplished upon the cross at Calvary is all very good. And it is good enough for you, sinner. It's good enough to see you into the glories of heaven, into that eternal rest. This is but a glimpse of heaven for us. It's but a glimpse of the eternal rejoicing that we will have, the eternal peace, the eternal rest. No longer resting upon ourselves for salvation. This day is set aside and we are to remember this day to remind ourselves of the fact that we no longer have the work to do, but the work is finished. The work has been accomplished. Christ has achieved salvation for you. What a tremendous thought as we arise on the Sabbath morning. As we wake up on the Lord's day. As we remember the Sabbath day week by week. Day by day, moment by moment. We're not just remembering a day to take aside from our rest and from our labors. But we're remembering the fact that Christ has finished His work. That He rose from the dead. That He was accepted at the right hand of the Father. That what He has achieved in His life and in His death is worthy of our praise eternally, forever. And that is why it is important to remember this commandment on every day of the week and not just on one day of the week. We would remember the Sabbath day and rejoice in the Lord's day. We're relying upon His life, remembering His resurrection. It is a glimpse and a taste of the glories of heaven. Just as we close this morning, I want to leave that last point with you, reverencing and revering the Lord's Day. To revere something is slightly different to reverencing it. As we think about it, just the idea of the words there, to revere is to regard something or someone with great awe or devotion. To simply regard it is not enough. We are to actually reverence the Sabbath day. It is to show reverence. There's a slight difference in the terms there, to reverence and to revere. Yes, we are to regard it as holy, but you must show it to be holy. You must live it out to be a holy day. The world must see as you come out to the house of God that you revere it. It is to be a testimony to the world. It's to be a testimony to them of what, not simply that you are the holy Joe in the street. That's not the point. The point is for them to see that you can have a rest from your labors. And that in itself is a picture to those that are working their way to heaven, that they too can have a rest in what Christ has done. I want to just read the two catechism questions that deal with this, 60 and 61. It says, how is the Sabbath day to be sanctified? And the Sabbath day is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. The next question, it says, what is forbidden in the fourth commandment? It says the fourth commandment is, or forbiddeth rather, the omission or careless performance of the duties required and the profaning of the day by idleness, or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments and recreations. Do any of us live up to that? Do any of us know what it is to go through the Sabbath day forgetting about idleness, forgetting about unnecessary thoughts, words, works, about worldly employments and recreations? Do any of us uphold that? We can't leave the thought about the Sabbath day without highlighting the seriousness of it and the solemnity of it. This is to be a day that we revere. Not because we have done anything to make it special, but because God has set it apart to be a special day. Because our Lord, our Redeemer, rose from the grave on this day. Surely that should set us in a spirit of reverence, that we should be in awe week by week as we come and rejoice in what Christ has done. We are to be in a spirit of holiness. The sweetness of the Sabbath is reserved for those who remember it and rest on it and revere it. Do you know its sweetness? Do you rejoice in it? And I'm not just simply talking about a glib rejoicing and a joy. Do you really rejoice in what God has done for you? Do you really keep and guard it and uphold the Sabbath day? Dr. Cairns, in his work on the law, has said this in regards to it. It is a constant sermon on the love of God. That's what he said about the Sabbath day. It is a constant sermon of the love of God. Week by week as we come and we take part in this sermon, do we rejoice? That could be a fourth point if we had the time. Do we rejoice in the Sabbath day? Or just go through week by week, hating the fact that it comes around every 7 days. I trust if you are a believer that that is not the case. I trust as we close this morning, if you're lost, that this would be the first Sabbath day that you truly rejoice in. That you would turn to Christ and find rest and peace and hope in the fact that He rose from the grave that day and rose victorious over sin, victorious over Satan. Would you not come and lay your life in His hands and rest entirely and wholly upon Him on His day, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, that one day in 7. Let's just bow together as we close our service in prayer.